Yeran Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. At the two dots, the Mishnah told us Nektam Roshoy. Just like by Lulav, if you have a Hadas whose top has been cut off, so it is pasul. This ever happened to you? One time, I remember, you know, they come on all these little plastic packages nowadays. You buy your Hadassim, I open up the plastic package. When it was in the package, they all looked pretty good. I always check all my bags of everything to make sure they're decent. If someone hands me one of these bags of Hadassim, I look at them and they have like holes in the leaves or they look out dried or whatever. I don't buy it. I ask for a different one. So I always check. And when I got home, I opened up this particular package and I pulled out the Hadassim. Mom was broken. The whole top was broken off. I had to go looking for another one, which are, last minute is not such a good thing. A Ravos you can always find. Hadassim, not always as much. So that's what the Mishnah said. Nektam Rosha is a psuo by the Hadassim. Tani Ulu Barchanina, Nektam Rosha also the Tamara Kasha. So Ula, the son of Chinina, said if the top is cut off, but in the place of that cracked top of the branch, it grows some kind of berry, what's referred to as a Tamara, which usually means a date, but it doesn't grow dates. It's some form of berry. Kasher. Then it's still going to be kasher. What's the pashub shot in that? It's still broken, but apparently it's a psul in the beauty of it in Hadar. So now that you can't see that it's broken because it has a berry in the place of what was snipped off, so then it's not visibly problematic, and so it's not a problem in the Hadar, and therefore it's kasher. Straightforward. Why Rabbi Yirmiya? Rabbi Yirmiya asked, Nektam Roshayim Erev Yantif. Ba'osibet Tamar B'Yantif Mahu. What if the top got cut off before Yantif, but on Yantif itself is when this berry grew, then what? So in other words, if you have a Hadas branch, and the top got snipped off, it's no good. If it doesn't have the top snipped off, it has a berry in place where you can't tell, so then it's kosher. But for sure that's true when it occurred before you started Yom Tov. Here the question is there any difference when it was broken before Yom Tov began, so it was pasul? And on Yom Tov, it grew a berry, so then mahu, what's the halacha? So I'm pretty sure any one of us here would have said, it's fine, because it grew the berry. What could possibly be wrong with it, right? I think that's what we all would have said. Because we're not familiar with the principle that exists by korbanos, by kudshim, and the Gemara has a very unusual question. Does it apply to mitzvahs? Asks the Gemara, mahu, what's the halacha? Yesh dichui etzel mitzvahs oiloi. Is there invalidation, pushing off regarding mitzvahs or not? So Rashi has a little bit of an introduction for us, where it says, Yesh dichui etzel mitzvahs kloimar. In other words, Neheges teras dichui etzel mitzvahs. Do we say that this principle of dichui, I'm just going to call it dichui, but are we all at least comfortable with what that means as a code word? That dichui means that this object became valid. It was invalid, now it became valid. So once it's invalid, maybe we say there's nothing you can do to rescue it. So you'll say, why not? So it could be that once the mitzvah or the zman ha-mitzvah begins or something like that, you have a certain object, and the object became invalidated. So there is a possibility that once the object became invalid, it's too late. There's nothing you can do to rescue it. That's the idea. Do we say that applies by mitzvahs or not? Kishem shenai hegas etzel karbanos. Just like we do say vis-a-vis karbanos. The imnirah, that if this thing appeared, meaning it was valid when the process began. V'nidches, and then it gets pushed off. Then it can't become valid again. So an example. Let's say that you have these two se'irim on Yom Kippur. There's a se'ir la Hashem and a se'ir la Azazel. So the se'ir la, you do a goyro, you do a lottery, and then one of them becomes designated to be brought as a korban to Hashem, and one of them is designated to be the one that's pushed off the cliff. So you shecht, the one that's going to be La Hashem, and you're supposed to sprinkle the blood in the proper places in the Kodesh HaKadashim, Baroiches, Mizbeach HaZav. And the Soyer that's supposed to go would be pushed off the cliff, gets so nervous he's going to get pushed off the cliff, he has a heart attack and dies when he finds out he's the Seir La Azazel. So now you have a problem because you're supposed to pick them both at the same time. You're supposed to do the girl on both of them. And now the one that's La Hashem becomes invalidated because he doesn't have a twin. So no problem. You'll go and you get another one and you'll designate that one La Zazel. So now the other one is rescued. So Seir La Hashem is rescued because now it has a pair. It has a twin. So do you say, well, it became invalid, so now forget about it, it's possible, you got to start all over again with another two? Or do you say that all you have to do is just get another one, and you go weiter, you continue from there? So that's the discussion, what's called nire v'nidche. It was valid until the Seir Lazazel died. Then when it died, it became invalid, the Seir Lashem became invalid. So do you say that now that we get another one, we can rescue it? Or you say, sorry, once it's been invalidated, it's invalidated, and you have to start the process over. So Rashi introduces us to this idea of nire v'nidche. Hachanami hoyo v'nidche kishenekta. Since this hadas branch became invalid once the top got cut off, broken off, sule hadar mechse, well, yes, tomorrow, perhaps it can no longer become appropriate when it grows this berry. Rashi adds a line here, which you'll see in a minute. It's really Rashi kind of doing the same thing Tosfos does. Because Rashi always explains things. He doesn't typically just add a new piece of information for us. Here something is clearly bothering him. V'hashtan, at this point, this right now in the Gemara, it's not medayek. It's an interesting word for Rashi to use. I probably would have used the word didn't distinguish. Rashi uses the word ledayek, which is to be exact. It doesn't distinguish really between dichui meikara and nira v'nidche. What does it mean dichui meikara? What does it mean nira v'nidche? So just to write it on the board so we can just get a little familiar with it. There's dichui meikara, and then there's nira. So mi'ikara, ikar, what's ikar? The essence of something. So dikui mi'ikara means it was pushed off in and of itself, meaning always from the beginning, from its essence. This thing was invalid from the beginning. It's dikui mi'ikara from the outset. Nir'e v'nidcha means it was seen, meaning it was appropriate, v'nidcha, but then it got pushed off subsequently. That's a very important distinction when it comes to korbanos. Because, take a look at the second Tosfos. He says, Nekta me'erev yamtev osba tamara b'yamtev mahu. So Tosfos says, Afal pi shebekunches hizker nirev enidche. Even though, in Rashi, right? The kunches is Rashi, right? We all know that, right? Pirish bekunches. Why is Rashi called the kunches? Because Rashi was the one that edited the Masorah, you know, the notes. Like we have Masorah for all the YU classes, right? There's Masorah, gotta make sure you get the Masorah. They had Masorah for all of the Gemara classes in the yeshivas in Babel or whatever, in Provence, also. And Rashi got a hold of the Masorah, and Rashi edited it and made it as precise as he possibly could. So that notebook, that Masorah that got passed around, was known as the Kuntres, the notebook. So Rashi became known as, like, you know, the master of the Kuntres. So that's why Tosfos always refers to him as the Kuntres, that he's the one that put together this whole notebook. Afal pishe b'kuntres, even though that in Rashi, hizker nirav enidche, he mentions this idea of it was valid and became invalid. Hadahacha, this here, this of here, meaning the case of hadasim, dichui mi'ikarahu, is obviously a case where it's pushed off from the outset, from its essence. Because from the beginning of Yantif, it already was not appropriate, meaning it was broken before Yantif started. So in other words, if you'll have a case of Hadassim, where the Hadass was valid, and it broke on Yantif, so that's called Nira V'nidche. It was appropriate, and then it got invalidated. That's not our case. Our case is that that was the whole point. The whole question was, at least that's the way it's phrased, is that what happens if it was never appropriate before Yom Tov? It was Nektam Roshay before Yom Tov began. And then also, but tomorrow, it grew this berry on Yom Tov. So this is Taisus, that's Dichui Mi'ikara. So what? Can you move the Chlekama on Gabay Eshchem Rav Yantiv. V'nehi digabei kodshim. And it's clear that regarding kodshim, pshita lan. It's obvious to us. The dichui mi'ikara havi dichui. Everyone says by karbanos that if it was never valid, then it's never can be valid. You can't rescue anything which was never valid. And he gives his rise, you know, for that. Gabi mitzvah mivoylan. But by mitzvah, we're asking the question, maybe it's different by mitzvos. And Tosfos doesn't explain why it should be different than mitzvahs. Tosfos doesn't really give us a lot of explanation. All he wants to do is point out that there's something that is a little bit confusing here. Because this issue of something that was valid and became invalid, can it become valid again, dichui, by mitzvahs, that is a very major sugya when it comes to karbanos. By karbanos, the sugya deals with if it was valid, became invalid, now we want to know, can we rescue it? Example was, like the case I gave you of the sa'ir, where you have two of them, the Seir LaShem, the Seir LaZazel, it was valid. We did the lottery, they were both good to go. But then the Seir LaZazel died. So it was valid, became invalid. Can you rescue it? Can you simply bring another Seir LaZazel? Or, no, sorry, you got to start over with two new Seirim. So this is, that's the question by Karbanos. Everyone agrees that if it was never valid from the beginning, you can't rescue it. That's for sure. So what in the world's going on in this Gemara? Says this is, the question is, okay, by mitzvahs maybe it's different. By mitzvahs maybe something which is invalid from the beginning can never become, maybe it can become valid later on. So this just begs the question of what is going on in this Gemara. And there are two approaches to it. So I'll just spell it out very quickly. Some want to say that this whole issue in the Gemara is a psul derabbanan. Deraisa, the concept applies by Karbanos, and these Mefarshim argue that Deraisa, you cannot apply the principles of Dichui to mitzvos. It's not applicable. It's a Karban thing. It's applicable to Karbanos. Nothing to do with mitzvos. Others say, so therefore, what's the question of the Gemara? The question was on a Derabbanan level. Midrabbanan, for some reason, why we'd have to figure out, for some reason Rabbanan felt we should apply the dynamic also to mitzvos. The other possibility is, no, it doesn't apply just to karbanos, maybe it really does apply to mitzvos, and then we'd have a harder time understanding why there would be a distinction then between karbanos and mitzvos in terms of dichui mi'ikara. Why by karbanos is it obvious that it's no good, and by mitzvos is there a possibility that it is? So if one is a betting man, based on that, you would be more tempted to say that this is only an issue derabbanan. Okay. The Aruch Lener asks the question, what about bris milah? There are cases that come up where a baby was supposed to have bris milah the eighth day, but unfortunately got a fever. And then you got to wait 7 days after it goes away, you know, and then you can do the bris milah again. Sometimes you can do things right away, sometimes you have to wait 7 days after it goes away. Why don't you say, sorry, could do it on the eighth day, all bets are off, no bris milah. No one ever said that. So what do you say? What's the difference between bris milah and lulav, hadassim? You come up with the quick distinction? Right, so that's the easiest distinction, is that bris milah, I mean, you're right, it's supposed to be on the eighth day, but what if you didn't? Then there's no more mitzvah after that. No. You have the rest of your life. Yeah. It continues for the rest of your life. Another interesting point is that lulav is a mitzvah. What are the consequences if a person didn't do it? Well, I mean, you're not allowed to just not do it. You know, if a person's mevatel, a mitzvah's asay, has its own types of consequences. It's not Malkus, you know, at least not the Raisa. But what about Bris Milah? What's the Onesh for a person that never has Bris Milah? It's Karis. It's one of the two things, the two mitzvahs asay that a person gets Karis for not accomplishing. What's the other one? Milah and Korban Pesach. Very good. Milah and Korban Pesach. The two things a person doesn't do is the Chiyuv Karis. So it could be that by Bris Milah it's different also for that reason. So whatever it is, but I would say, if you're a betting man, that it's an issue derabbanan. Although there were those who wanted to suggest it, it's an issue deraisa. Okay, so that's what we want to know: is there a concept of dichui when it comes to mitzvahs? This was never valid, and now it becomes valid. So, do we say, great, now it's valid, we're good to go, Or do we say, sorry, since it was invalid when Yantuf began, there's nothing you can do to rescue it? So again, the question inside the Gemara was, if its head was chopped off on Erev Yantif, also on Tamar Yantif, and it grew this berry on Yantif, mahu what's the halacha? Yesh dichu yetzal mitzvahs? Do we say it's invalid, and there's invalidation when it comes to mitzvahs, not just korbanos? Or not? We say, sorry, you know, you can rescue something. There's no such thing as dichu. It's pushed off, and it's pushed off, and that's it. No, it may have been invalid, but now it's fine. What do we say? So we learn, we answer it, or we try to, from this that we're taught in the Mishnah. Kisohu v'niskala pater. He covered it, it became revealed. Pater milachasois. You're exempt from covering it. What are we talking about? So who already learned this? What are we talking about? Covering the blood. We call it officially kisui hadam. Kisui hadam, covering the blood. What's the story of kisui hadam? It's a reisa, it's a rabbanon, it's a mitzvah, it's a minig. What is it?
That practice done in the base of English by the Kohanim?
That what?
There was a practice done in the base of English by the Kohanim.
Was it? Anybody know? Anybody here been to a slaughterhouse? Oh, wait a minute, we got someone taking shechit over here. What's the story of kisui hadam? What do you know about kisui hadam? For anything? So here, you ready for this? The way, I don't know, the way I remember it in a certain way is because of a very interesting chat of the Rambam. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim asks, why did Hashem require us to cover blood of animals that we shecht? And the Rambam points out that not all animals require kisui hadam. If a person shechts a behema, what's a behema?
Domesticated.
But what's the opposite of domesticated? A chaya. That's why we call children wilde chayas. You're a wild animal, and wilde chaya. You weren't called that as a child? Jason, you were not. You were not called wilde. No. I don't want to pick on anybody. Okay! But in any case, so a chaya is a wild animal. Behemoth is a domesticated animal. Behemoths do not require kisui hadam. Chayos require kisui hadam. What's an example of a chaya that we eat?
A cow.
Very domesticated.
But in my backyard, I don't have cows, I have
deer.
Deer. Boing, 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 boing. They're like, run all the way. You try to catch one of those guys. They are not very domesticated. So deer, what do you call that? Venison. Venison. Anybody here ever eat venison? No. Nobody. I've never had deer. Yeah. Yeah. Deer are always chewing something.
I heard them taste too good.
Make one move, they're like, dart away. It's funny, in davening in the morning, so I daven from this big window in front of the shul, and every once in a while, I'll see this, like, white rabbit's foot, like, bouncing around. Like the rest of the deer, you can't see because it's like camouflaged in. It's like brown, but it's got this bright white tail in the back. So when they're nice and happy and bouncy, the tail like sticks up in the air and like bouncing around. That's like all you see is this like tail. But anyways, so the deer, if a person wants to eat venison and he shechs a deer, so he will have a mitzvah of kisui hadam. Birds, also mitzvah of kisui hadam. So chicken and whatnot, turkey. So they have a mitzvah of kisui hadam. So the Rambam wonders, why is there a mitzvah of kisui hadam, and why is there a discrepancy between when you have to do it? And he comes up with a fascinating idea. Again, this is tamei hamitzvos. It's his reason for the mitzvah, the Mor Nevuchim. You ready for this? Benji, ready? This is fascinating. Rambam writes, we know there is another prohibition of blood. What's the prohibition of blood? You're not allowed to eat it. Why not allowed to eat it? So a lot of reasons one could give. One of the psukim that the Torah describes when it comes to blood is that you're not allowed to pool the blood. You're not allowed to leave the blood there. Why? Yeah, related to avodah zarah. The Rambam develops the idea like this. People used to believe, and remember, this is the Rambam. So Rambam holds all this stuff is shtus vehevel. It's not true. It's just the foolishness that people used to believe in superstitions and whatnot. Others argue that there's a truth to it, but the Rambam held not. And he says, people used to believe that if you'll pool the blood, the demons will come and tell you the future. Now he doesn't deal with this, but the Ramban warns you, just be careful. Demons don't really know the future. They only know the immediate future. So if you want to know the real future, you should ask somebody else. But there were people that wanted to do this, to know the future, and to have assistance from the various demons. Maybe they could even get them and then have them do their bidding in certain ways. But in any case, Rambam said, you're not allowed to do that because it's stupid. So how do you root out stupidness from within you? By forcing yourself to believe it's stupid. How do you force yourself to believe it's stupid? So the Rambam, of course, doesn't use this type of terminology, but nowadays we would probably call it cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is when you behave in a way that's against your belief system. You really can't stand Hillary Clinton. So someone says, okay, I want you to write me an essay supporting her and demonstrating how her policies really are beneficial to the United States of America. And so you have to sit there and write an essay supporting her. Psychological studies have indicated that when a person's finished doing that, he will feel more inclined towards Hillary Clinton. There's a certain cognitive dissonance there, because how could I be doing this, you know, against what I believe must be that, you know, it's like, there are different ways to explain that, of course. But be that as it may, there is a concept like that. And the Rambam writes that that's all over the Torah, that in order to root out a false belief from within us, we have to behave in a manner that demonstrates that we don't believe in it. What's the easiest example of this? The very beginning of Klal Yisrael's history. Pesach. What were they supposed to do? That's right. What was the god, one of the gods of the Egyptians? The sheep. One reason for that, by the way, is that what is the sign of Nisan? Anybody know? Yeah, what do we call it? Anybody know? Horoscope? April? Aries. Aries is a ram. Sheep, ram. So that month, what's in power? Sheep, ram. You're going to take it, kill it, put it on your doorpost? What are you, suicidal? You out of your mind? Sheep God's gonna kill you. No, you have to prove to yourself that you don't believe in it. This is what's going to save your life. So that was part of separating Klal Yisrael from Avodah Zarah. And that rule of doing things against your belief system to root out the false beliefs is a theme that the Rambam develops in the Marne Avuchim. So too here, you're not allowed to pool the blood. You believe you pool the blood because it's going to be beneficial to you, the demons, this, that, and the other thing. You're not allowed. Prove to yourself that it's ridiculous, that you don't want to do that. So when you shecht a bird, when you shecht a chaya, so you have to cover the blood. You're not allowed to leave it pooled in front of you. Well, then how come by a behema you can? Says Rama, you cannot. Because when the mitzvah of shechita was given, where were the Klal Yisrael? The midbar. Were they allowed to shecht an animal and eat it? They were not. An animal that could be brought as a karban had to be brought as a karban. You bring it as a karban shlamim, and you're allowed to eat it afterwards. But what happened to the blood from that karban? It was sprinkled on the mizbeach, so you didn't get it. So that's why that didn't apply to behemoth. A fascinating, fascinating development of the Rambam. But be that as it may, that's the mitzvah of kisui hadam. It only applies to what? To the animals you could have eaten in the midbar. What were the animals you could have eaten in the midbar without bringing a karban? The birds and the wild animals. So, what do we want from here? We want to compare this to the idea of dichui by mitzvahs. How do you have dichui by mitzvahs when it comes to kisui hadam? So Gemara says like this. We learn a mishnah chisov and iskalipot there, milchasos. If a person covered the blood, he took the dirt, and he covered the blood. But then, the wind blew, whatever happened, and now it became revealed. Niskala. The blood is now visible again. Patur lechasos. You're exempt from covering it again. Apparently. The mitzvah is not that the blood needs to remain covered. It's an action of covering the blood. According to the Rambam's theory, it's very interesting. I can hear how you could go either way on that one. But if you do say that it's just an action of proving to yourself you don't believe in it, so then maybe one time is enough. Which is interesting. But in any case, what happens if you never actually covered it yourself? You didn't have an opportunity to cover the blood, and all of a sudden there's a big wind that comes, and the wind blows the dirt on top of the blood. You never did it. So then you are obligated to cover the blood. Again, according to the Rambam's theory, that really works, right? Because it's not a question of a practicality of the blood being covered. You have to cover it. You with me? Because that's how you prove to yourself you don't believe in it. You have to do it. So wow, according to Rambam, really works nicely. But in any case, that's the halacha, whether the Rambam is correct in the Tamei Mitzvos or not. V'amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo ishanu ele shechazev v'niskala. We only learned this. It's only talking about when it became revealed. But if it never became revealed, then you don't have to cover it. Not so good with the Rambam. This opinion holds that when it got covered originally by the wind, you don't have to uncover it to cover it yourself. The case is where the wind covered it, and then the wind came again and uncovered it. Now, it's not covered by the wind, and you didn't do it either. In that case, you have to do it, so to speak, again. But if the wind covered it and now it's covered, so at the end of the day it's covered, you don't have to actually do it. That's what they say. Okay? V'havinan ba. You think so? You believe so? Ki chazer v'niskala, when it becomes revealed again, amai chayav l'chasos. Why should you be obligated to cover it? Hoyol v'idchi, idchi. Since the mitzvah was pushed off, meaning it was covered once, idchi, it should be pushed off, and now you don't have to do it again. Don't you see from here that we do not say there's dichui by mitzvahs? Let's work that one more time in our minds. We want to know if the mitzvah became invalid. That was the way we looked at it. So then, if it becomes valid later, what do you say? You can't rescue it, or you can? Whereas, well, I'll prove it to you. Because if you went ahead and you did shechita, and now there's blood. The wind covered it, and then it doesn't become uncovered, so you're good to go. If the wind uncovers it, oh, you have to cover it. Why? It already got covered once. Why don't you say that you're done? Must be. Don't say that there is an invalidation by mitzvahs. If it becomes valid again, if the opportunity arises that this thing can be used for mitzvah again, oh, so then it's good. Or in this case, you have a chiyuv to cover the blood again. Anybody have a comment about that? The first thing I think that you're probably thinking, even though you don't want to say because you're too embarrassed to say it out loud, the first thing you're thinking is, wait a minute, this is not an invalidation, right? You're not invalidating the blood, are you? It's a mitzvah. It's an action. It's an opportunity to do something. The hadas is invalid. It's puzzle. You can rescue it by doing something. But it's not that the blood became puzzle or invalidated. It's just unavailable. It's inaccessible. But now it's available again.
The mitzvah is available
again. Yeah. Right? Isn't there a difference there? Don't you wonder why what justified the Gemara making this comparison? Shouldn't you jump on the Gemara right away and say, that's obviously different? Because there's a difference between an invalidation and an opportunity, an accessibility. No?
Is there a reason for covering the blood, though? No, but does it have anything to do with not like using the blood, then?
What do you mean? The Rambam saying the whole sheet of that?
Because maybe that you say the blood has some function to it. And so therefore, by covering it, you say that, okay, it no longer has it. Function that you can't use it in the sense.
There's no mitzvah to be done with that blood. The only mitzvah that is to cover it.
It's just the mitzvah of covering.
Yeah. Okay. So that's curious, right? The other issue, which that particular nuance, the Gemara doesn't seem to address. So that's up to us to take a look at Rishonim, Achronim, and say, that question bothers me. You know, does anybody talk about that? Like that seems like it shouldn't be comparable. Benji, you with me on this? What's the difference between covering blood and a hadas that's broken? When the blood becomes covered, or the hadas becomes broken, so the hadas is now invalid. Is the blood that's covered invalid? No, it's just gone. So now it becomes uncovered. The hadas grows a berry. The hadas is now valid, or maybe not, that's what we want to know. The blood becomes uncovered, it's now back. Well, why is that the same thing? So, the Gemara does not ask that question. So I leave it up to you to come up with anything. If you can come up with anything, you can definitely be amply rewarded. Rav Papa was confident saying, you see from here that when a mitzvah is pushed off, it comes back. There's no such thing as invalidation by mitzvos. Gemara says, yay! Rav Papa guva mi vayilei. This issue of Rav Papa also is part of our question. Mifshit pashitlei de'ein dichat ze mitzvahs. Do we say that this is a clear-cut answer? Right? Mifshit pashitlei. It's straightforwardly answered. De'ein dichat ze mitzvahs, that there's no such thing as invalidation by mitzvahs. Leishna l'kula, leishna l'chumra. And there's no difference between a chumra and a kula. I'm going to explain that in 1 second. Eidilma svuka misavkalei. Or perhaps we have a doubt. L'chumra amrinan. If it's a chumra stringency, we do say l'kula lo amrina. But a leniency, we do not say. I think our answer is teku. We're not sure. But let it stand. We don't have a clear-cut answer to this question at all. What just happened in the Gemara? So think it through with me, okay? Are you ready? Benji, you ready? Think this through with me. Another difference between kisui hadam and hadas is what's called a chumra versus a kula. Why? If I tell you, you have to do it again, is it a chumra or a kula? It's a chumra. Because even though you might have thought you're yotzei the mitzvah, I'm telling you you're not, you got to do it again. That's a chumra. If I tell you that this thing that you think is pasul is really kosher, is that a chumra or a kula? A kula. I'm allowing you to use something you might have thought was invalid. So that's a very significant difference. When it comes to the blood is now available again, so yeah, l'chumra, we might say you got to do it again. That's a chumra. The blood is now available. Do it again. But by the hadas, we might still say, yeah, this is not a question of a chumra. I'm going to let you use something that might be pasul. So then we'll say, sorry, once it's invalid and you're stuck. That may go back to exactly the same point I made before, and that might be the answer to our question. I said, isn't there a difference between something being pasul versus an opportunity to do a mitzvah? Maybe that's a distinction between the two cases. How could you compare them? Maybe that's part of what the Gemara is saying now, too. That when it comes to chumra kula, it may dovetail. Because the chumra is, this is an action. The action's unavailable, the action's available. Okay, so do it. Whereas when it comes to the hadas, it's a question of whether it's pasul or not. So that's not a question of doing an action, an activity. It's a question of the object, the identity of the object. So it could be that the identity is a different issue, and we say, sorry, it's pasul. Maybe we can't just validate it by growing a berry. So the Gemara says, this is all part of our question. We're not really sure the answer to this. Do we say, you're right, a specific avenue, we have answered. If your question is activities where it's a chumra, then we'll say there's not dichui. We don't say it's inaccessible and if we don't have to do the mitzvah anymore. If the mitzvah opportunity presents itself again, the wind uncovers the blood, sorry, you got to do it again. That we do say. That's clear. But what does that mean for an object like a hadas? Does that mean that once it becomes invalid and now there's a berry, it's valid again? Not necessarily. We still don't know the answer to that question. Because it's not comparable, your case of kisui hadam. Good?
How do we, in short, define chumra and kula? Chumra would be...
Chumra means that when it becomes available again, you have to do it again. That's a chumra.
Only when it comes around a second time.
Yeah. But when it comes to allowing a person to use an object that was pasul, I'll tell you, well, it grew a berry. It was possible a minute ago because the top is broken off, but now it grew a berry. You can use it. That's a kula. You're allowing me to use something that before this was invalid. But if the blood was covered, I say you don't have to cover it. Okay, it's covered. Now it's uncovered. So if I tell you, you have to do it, there's no pushing off by mitzvah, there's no dichu, there's no invalidation. That's a chumrah. Now you're going to have to do it again. That's a chumrah. So Gemara says, let it stand. We're not sure the answer to this question. Is there dichui by mitzvahs or not dichui by mitzvahs? We don't really have a clear-cut answer to the category of invalidation. Behaviors, that's a chumrah, we've answered. You have to do it again. But when it comes to the identity of an object, if it's puzzle and then it becomes available, it comes, you fix the psua, that we're not sure if you can use it. So Gemara says, well, le mikitanoi. Even though we just said teku, which usually means that's it, there's nothing more to talk about, the Gemara suggests, well, maybe it's really a machlokas tanoim. How would it be a machlokas tanoim? So whenever the Gemara says lemeket tanoim, let's say it's a machlokas tanoim, it means that it's not a clear-cut machlokas tanoim, because then the Gemara wouldn't say, let's say. The Gemara would just say, what do you mean it's a machlokas tanoim? The Gemara is saying lemeket tanoim means there's another issue that's discussed somewhere else, where I think this is really at the core of that machlokas. One more time. Lema kitanoi means there's another issue discussed elsewhere, which on the surface does not seem to be related to what we're talking about. But I believe, says whoever's saying lema kitanoi, that at the core of that machlokas is really this issue. You'll see what I mean in a second. Lema kitanoi. Let's say that this is really at the core of another issue. Of a machlokas tanoim. Of a reliktan puzzle, divrei Rabbi Eliezer mitzalek. Chachamim machshirin. This is talking about hadasim. If a person transgressed and picked off the berries. What are we talking about? Anybody know? What do you mean transgressed and picked off the berries? Why are you transgressing anything? It's Yom Tov already. It's Yom Tov already. You're not allowed to pick off the berries on Yom Tov. Why not? Because it's invalid right now,
right.
And you're validating it by taking off the berries. There's too many berries to be a kosher hadas. You're making it valid. So that's similar to what malacha? Good guess. Maka
bepatish.
Because you're making something that wasn't usable, usable. Ooh, think this through for a minute. The hadas, was it valid before Yom Tov began? No, it had berries all over it. It's not valid. You picked the berries on Yom Tov. Is it valid now?
No.
Well, that's what we want to know, right? That would be perfect. Isn't that our case? Our case is where the top broke off and it grew a berry in place of the broken branch. But this is exactly the same concept, the same issue, right? It was invalid because it had too many berries. You pick off the berries on Yom Tov. Now it became valid on Yom Tov! So that's exactly what we want to know! Ha! And what does the Mishnah say? Avar veliktan pusel! If you pick off the berries, the hadas is pusel. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. V'chachamim achshirin. V'chachamim say it's kosher. Do you see where this is going? Where is this going? You're not allowed to pick off the berries. It's a malacha makom apatish. But if you did, machlokas, if it's kosher or not. Isn't that exactly our machlokas? If you say it was invalid and Yom Tov began and there's dichui by mitzvahs, so you cannot rescue your hadas. But if you say that, what do you mean? There's such thing as dichui by mitzvahs, so you can rescue your hadas. Why, it's an aveira. Okay, that's not called mitzvah baba aveira. But it's kosher. So the chachamim say it's kosher. So the Gemara goes on. Savrua, we assume, we reason, dekuli ama lulav ein tzarech ege. The assumption is that lulav does not have, technically, it doesn't have to be bound. V'im tim tzolam et tzarech ege, even if you'll say it does have to be bound, lo yofino lulav mi sukkah. We're not going to learn out lulav from sukkah. Tichsiv bei taseh velo mino asui. Because by sukkah we know, there's a principle, taseh velo mino asui. We learned this before last semester, that you're not allowed to build a sukkah in a way that's invalid, and then you can't save it afterwards. Okay, I'm just going to quickly point out what the Gemara is doing over here. Why did the Gemara say well, let's get rid of this issue. Why did the Gemara do that to us? Because if you bring in the issue the Gemara is getting rid of, then it becomes a totally different conversation. What's the issue the Gemara is discussing? If you take a pasul hadas and you have to bind it with your other minim, if you have to, then you're binding, bound a pasul hadas into your four minim. And now the whole thing becomes invalid. Unless you take it apart, put in a kosher one, and start over. Do you remember when we talked about this? The concept of the tasa of alumino aswi applies in a few places. If a person goes ahead and puts his schach on top of a bunch of posts before he has a kosher sukkah, and builds the walls later, so then his schach, his tasa of alumino aswi, he's going to have to fix the schach later on. Imagine the following. You're tying tzitzis. You're supposed to take four strings and tie the tzitzis, correct?
Yeah.
What happens if you take one string? But you know how you take it like that, and now you have one string folded into four strings. And then you put it through the hole, and you tie a couple of knots, and technically you have kosher tzitzis at that point. Then you cut off the ends, and now, officially, after you've tied your knots and made your tzitzis, you now have made four strings. Guess what? Tase velomina asui, the tzitzis are puzzle. Because the way in which you tied them was invalid, because you only tied them with one string. They became four strings after they became tzitzis. That's called tasa volumino asui. So if you would have put a pasul hadas and you have to tie them, then the problem would be tasa volumino asui if we learn out that problem from sukkah. By sukkah, we know there's a problem of tasa volumino asui. Does that problem apply to the arba minim? Depends on whether or not we have a certain connection between the two mitzvahs. If you say there is not a connection, then there's no problem. If you say there is a connection, then the problem carries over from sukkah to the hadassim. If you have to tie them together. So there's a lot of issues going on here. Step one, there's a psul tasa v'lo min ha'asui by sukkah. Everyone agrees. Step two. Do you apply that problem from sukkah to arba minim? Not so simple. Maybe yes, maybe no. Number three, if you do apply the principle from sukkah to lulav, is there any asiyah necessary by lulav? Do you have to do anything? Again, an issue. Depends on whether or not you hold. You have to tie the three species together. The esrog, obviously not. So those are three things that are very important in the background over here. So the Gemara wants to get rid of that right away. And say, let's assume we're talking about the opinion that holds that the lulav doesn't have to be bound, there's no asiya at all. And even if you say this opinion holds there is an asiya, you do have to bind them, then let's assume that he holds we don't learn the principle of tasa v'lo mina asui from sukkah to the dalet mina. So even though there is an asiya, but there's no problem of making of tasa v'lo mina asui with a pasul hadas. So that's not an issue. That's what the Gemara wants to zero in on, and zero in on this particular issue. Shlomi, you have a question?
Yeah. So we say that it's taking off the berries is a problem with the bundle, because
if you have to tie them together, and when you did tie them together, your hadas was puzzle, you have a tasa of lo min osui problem right now. Even if you pick the berries off.
Even if it's four seconds.
When you pick the berries. Yes, you're not allowed to do it. But if you did pick off the berries, maybe now it's kosher? The answer is no, because it's tasa, v'lamin asui. Because when you bound them together, it was pasul. You can't fix it after. It's a mamash parallel to snipping off the ends of the strings of the tzitzis. You're fixing it after you tied it. You can't do that. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so all of that notwithstanding, let's imagine none of those tasa, v'lamin asui is not the issue here. Okay, so then what's the problem? My love, is it not b'haika miflagi that if this is what they're arguing about? Demand the puzzle, the one that says even after you pluck the berries, the hadas is still puzzle. Why? Savar, he holds. Amrinan yesh dichui atzal mitzvahs. Because there is invalidation by mitzvahs. There's dichui by mitzvahs, meaning the hadas was puzzle. And you can't save it. It's kosher once you're not allowed to pick them off, but if you did pick them off, the hadas is kosher. They hold. We don't say that there is dichui by mitzvahs. So that's what the Gemara meant when I said lema kitanoi. Let's say it's a machlokes tanoim. The tanoim are arguing over a different case about what happens if you already picked the berries off your hadash. You weren't allowed to. But you did, you transgressed, and you picked the berries off on Yom Tif. Is it valid or is it not valid? What's valid? The hadash. Is the hadash valid? So the Gemara says, isn't that the issue? Whether or not there's dichui by mitzvahs. Loi. The Gemara answers, no. The kuli amal leyam rinan is dichui that's a mitzvahs. Maybe, or on Gemara sounds like it's saying definitively, but maybe the whole world says that we don't say there's dichui etzel mitzvahs. No, really, if you picked off the berries, you're fine. Maybe you can rescue the hadas. But here, b'melef lulav misukka kamiflagi, they're arguing over whether or not we learn out tasev elo mina osui from sukkah to the arba minim. They're arguing about mar savar, the one that holds that it's puzzle, hadas is puzzle. He holds yalfina lulav misukkah. We learn out lulav from sukkah that there's a problem of tasev elo mina osui. So you puzzled your arba minim here because when you tied your hadas in, it had a berry, it berries. Umar Sabr and the Chachamim who hold it's still kosher once you pluck the berries. They say, Lo Yofin and Lulav Misukkah. We don't learn out Tasav Elamino Asui from Sukkah. The Lulav, there's no halacha. There's no psul of Tasav Elamino Asui. Viba Yisayim, and if you want, say, Yisfirilan Lulav Tzarech Eged. If you hold a Lulav requires to be bound, the Kulei Alma Yofin and Lulav Misukkah. That everyone agrees that you learn out Lulav from Sukkah, that if you have to tie it, in other words, if you hold lulav that requires a binding, then there's a problem of tasev elo mina asui. But they're arguing over whether or not a lulav has to be tied. If it has to be tied, and you tied in a pasul hadas, you're stuck, because of tasev elo mina asui. But the chachamim hold, you don't have to tie it. So if you did tie it, for whatever reason, and then you plucked off the berries, it's no problem because there's no halacha tasa velomin osu because you don't have to tie it. We plucked the dani tonight, the sanin arguing over the other machlokes tanoim, as we learn in the braisa, lulav bein agud, bein shein agud, kasher. The tanakama, the chachamim hold, a lulav, whether it is bound or not, is kasher. You don't have to bind it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, agud kasher, agud pasul. Rabbi Yehuda holds, if it's bound, it's kasher. If it's not bound, it is pasul. My time at Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that if it is not bound, it's pasul? Yalef lekicha lekicham, agudas ezoiv. Because he learns that you have to bind it from the agudas ezoiv. Anybody know what that is? The bundle of hyssop? What's that from? No, not Korban Pesach, but... anybody know? By the par aduma. That to sprinkle the paraduma on a person, so you have to have this agudas ezov and aguda bunch, a bundle. What's a bunch? Once a bundle, it has to be three, it has to be tied together. It says, by arba minim, they have to take them on the first day. And it says, by the agudas ezov, v'lakachtem agudas ezov. The word v'lakachtem again over there. So there's a connection between the two. Zereshava. V'lakachtem, lakachtem. Take, take. Ma'ala halan aguda, just like when it comes to the agudas ezoiv, it has to be a bound bunch. Afkan aguda aguda. So too, by the arba minim, three out of four, it has to be bound. V'rabbanan lesle lekicha lekicha. And the Rabbanan simply don't hold it, like Gzeira Shava. A Gzeira Shava had to be part of your Mesaira. If you didn't have that Gzeira Shava in your Mesaira, so then you just don't have it. It was such halacha. Man tanul hadatan Rabbanan. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Well then, who is the author of the following braisa? Lulav mitzvah la'agdai v'im la'agdai kasher. Lulav, there is a mitzvah to bind it. But if you didn't, it's still kasher. Nobody says that. Money, who is that? Rabbi Yehuda. If you'll suggest it's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, ki la'agdai am I kasher. If you didn't bind it, why is it kasher? It's puzzle. Rabbanan. And if it's the opinion of the Rabbanan, my mitzvah kavid. What mitzvah are you doing? You don't have to bind it. It's kosher if you didn't bind it. So what do you need to bind it for? La'olam Rabbanan. Really, it is the opinion of the Rabbanan. So then what's the mitzvah? U'mitzvah mishum zeh keliv anveyu. It's a mitzvah because you're supposed to make mitzvahs beautiful. And after flopping all over the place, it's not beautiful. So to bind it, tie it up nicely, makes it into a beautiful mitzvah. So what happened over here at the end of the day? So the Gemara says, I want to know, if you have an object of a mitzvah that became invalid, so do we say that you can rescue it by making it valid again? Or we say once it's invalid, we say yeshdichu yetzel mitzvahs, it is invalid once and it's invalid forever. What do you say? So Gemara tries to prove it from kisui adam, and the Gemara is not satisfied with that because that's a behavior and a chumrah. It's not an object and a psul. So the Gemara says, okay, so take it, we're not sure. The Gemara says, wait a minute, maybe this is a machlokes tanoim. Because otherwise, what are they arguing about in this case where you tie up the hadassim? The Gemara says, well, I don't know, man, there are a whole slew of issues over there. Because there you're dealing with the issue of, does the lulav have to be bound? And do we learn out from sukkah, tasa, velo, mina, asui? You certainly cannot prove from there that the issue is dichui etzel mitzvahs. What we're left to ponder in this Gemara is the following. Is there a conclusion that we can come to from this Gemara or not? Let's say you did this. You took a hadas that had berries all over it. You tied it together with your lulav and your aravis. And then you picked the berries afterwards. Is it good or it's not good? It's a machlokes. Well, what does that machlokes revolve around? Well, there are a whole bunch of different issues that it could revolve around. One issue could be if you learn it out from sukkah, out from sukkah, but that depends on whether or not you have to bind the minim. So if you have to bind the minim, so then maybe you say tasev lo mino asui, maybe you don't. But even if you don't, how can you say it's kosher? Because don't you say it's dichu b'mitzvahs? Okay, so hold on. If we'll insist that the opinion of the Chachamim, we're only going to deal with the opinion of the Chachamim, by the way, that's the majority opinion. We'll deal with the opinion of the Chachamim for a minute. If you argue that the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rebbe Eliezer over here is revolves around the Eged and Tasav Lamin Asui, that means that we don't say Yesh Dichu Yetzel Mitzvahs because it's an issue of Tasav Lamin Asui. But if you can get around Tasa Velomina Asui, it would be good. So apparently the fact that you plucked off the berries on Yom Tov is fine. And if the issue is the Eged, well, they argue over whether or not it requires an Eged or not. And if it doesn't, Chachamim, it doesn't require an Eged, it's only as there Rezekli Manmeu. There's no psuel of Tasa Velomina Asui. But wait a minute, but you picked off the berries on Yom Tov. So apparently, again, there is not a problem of dichui by mitzvahs. So according to this braisa, it should come out, despite the teiku that we just encountered, it should come out that the opinion of the chachamim, the majority opinion here, is that we don't say yesh dichui etzel mitzvahs. You with me on this? Yeah, you're with me, right? You're smiling. That's what comes out, no? So it should come out at the end of the day from the sugya that the teiku is not really a teiku. Because it should come out the opinion of the Chachamim, unless you say that's what they're arguing about. But if that's not what they're arguing about, then everyone's going to agree there's no dichui by mitzvahs. So did the Gemara come to a clear conclusion here? Or the Gemara didn't come to a clear conclusion here? And the Gemara doesn't like spell it out to us. So we'll have to leave that for the Rishonim and for those poskim to decide. What do you do at the end of the day with this Gemara? Because the Gemara is suggesting this was the Machlokes Tanoim, and then the Gemara gets out of it by suggesting it's not the Machlokes Tanoim. Well, if it is the Machlokes Tanoim, then it's a Machlokes Tanoim. And what's the opinion of the Chachamim? It's kasher. Even if you say, yesh, because we don't say yesh dicha, that's all it is. So wait a minute! It comes out no matter how you learn. Even if the machlokis between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer was over dichui, what would be the opinion of Chachamim? It's kosher. There's no dichui by mitzvahs. And if you say that's not the machlokis, then it comes out for sure everybody says there's no dichui yetzel mitzvahs. So it should come out halacha lemaisa that we don't pass on with Rabbi Eliezer, we pass on with the majority opinion like Chachamim. And it should come out that there's no such thing as dichui by mitzvahs, however you learn this Gemara. Even though the Gemara had a teiku in the middle. So I leave it up to you to think, is that true? Is that not true? Is there another way to learn this? But that's what that's sure does seem to come out at the end of the day from this figure. Okay, I'm going to take a couple minutes.